Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Today is National Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. So take that whatever way you'd like, okay? It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for Tuesday, February 11th, 2020. We are reading to you from our studio located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. My name is Judy, and my partner at the microphone is Joan. We're glad to have you listening. We will start with a look at today's weather and headlines from the front page. The top headline today is Visit from a Gentle Giant. It said, Oleo and a rodeo clown keep Fort Dodge residents grounded in their humanity. A second story, Fort Dodge Council sets partial property tax levy. Another story, Fort Dodge Council puts brakes on water rate increase. A fourth headline, School Board awards Central Office remodel project to Woodruff Construction. Another headline, Goldfield man sentenced after charges reduced. And the last headline are highlights of President Trump's 2021 budget plan. Today's weather will have a high of 29 with a low of 21. Expect sunny skies and a west-northwest wind of 7 to 10 miles per hour and wind chills as low as 5 degrees. And here is Joan to read the first story about the bull.
Good morning. Visit from a gentle giant. Oli and a rodeo clown keep Fort Dodge residents grounded in their humanity. This article is by Elijah Decius and is accompanied by a photo by Elijah showing Cindy Noble, pets Oli the bull, Monday at Fort Dodge Health and Rehabilitation. And Cindy's sitting in her wheelchair, and she's got her hand on Oli's forehead, and he's just looking at her, and the other residents are also looking on. You've heard of a bull in a china shop, but have you heard of a bull in a residential care facility? Until Monday, the residents at Fort Dodge Health and Rehabilitation hadn't either. There, residents gathered around Oli, the 1,850-pound gentle giant, to do what most of them didn't know they would be doing that day, climbing on top of him. It's an accomplishment that most there had never imagined doing, even prior to their golden years. There, seniors and residents in rehabilitation from surgery marveled at how calm the animal, who managed to fit through a regular door, was. That's something, said resident Willie Schmidt, age 99, marveling at how calm Oli remained despite the constant stimulation. With the encouragement of others, Schmidt became the oldest person to climb on top of Oli that day, raising his hands high up in the saddle like it was a roller coaster to pose for pictures with Oli's handler, Jason Dent. But this wasn't Schmidt's first rodeo. He rode on horses and smaller bulls as a kid. We just rode him to see how long we could stay on him, the Gowrie native recalled, remembering Queen, one of his favorite horses as a young man. This bull was the only other animal he ever recalled seeing at Fort Dodge Health and Rehabilitation in his residence of about 5 years. I'm the only other animal they brought in here, he joked. Dent, a former bull rider, turned rodeo clown, now showcases Oli, the bull bred to be a super bucker, but that didn't like bucking cowboys like Dent. That's what led Dent to get Oli for a bargain about 11 years ago. Dent originally intended to use Oli as a stud, with a certified lineage that has proven to be fruitful, despite his own shortcomings as a bucker. After an incident that scared him out of riding, Dent became a rodeo clown and ended up touring with Oli to places like this one in Fort Dodge. I climbed down in that bucket chute, and I was like, I just had a terrible fear all of a sudden, Dent said. My legs went numb. I rode for 13 years, but I was terrified. After that, I couldn't do it. But it turns out Oli's ironic shortcoming was a perfect match for a rodeo clown who goes by the stage name Whistlenut, no longer interested in the dangers of bull riding. I spend most time with this guy than my wife, the former Big Brother contestant joked with residents. At 14, Ole is nearing the end of his expected lifespan, but has managed to tour upwards of 90 cities since 2010. In that time, he's given joy to many young and old, the reason that Dent makes the drives around the country. In those visits, he said Ole's appearance is more than just a means of entertainment for an hour or two. When residents, many confined to wheelchairs or limited by walkers, climb up the stairs or are lifted up with Dent's lanky but strong arms onto the saddle, they feel an energy that parallels the one he felt as a rider. "I get a lump in my throat a lot," Dent said, of witnessing their peer, joyful reactions as residents manage to smile wider than they have in a long time. "Their smiles are paralyzing," the Humiston native said. Overcoming the fear and succeeding in getting on top of Ole gives them a confidence that carries them with a renewed energy that few other activities can do. "You've just renewed their own self-courage. It reestablishes humanity for them," he said. And though it's not the same rush of adrenaline he got as a young buck that rode bucking bulls, he said it's an emotional revelation unlike any other. "It makes you feel like you're learning something that nobody else is," he said, about the people he helps up and down each time. "You don't wear a cape with that kind of power." And this is accompanied by several more pictures by Elijah, one showing Ole the bull, visits with residents at Fort Dodge Health and Rehabilitation with handler Jason Dent, a former rodeo bull rider and reality TV star from Big Brother. And the residents are sitting in their wheelchairs and standing just looking at the bull, and the bull's looking at them. Another photo at 99, Willie Schmidt is officially the oldest person to sit on Ole the bull. Schmidt, a resident of Fort Dodge Health and Rehabilitation, said he used to ride bulls as a kid, but at 1,850 pounds, Ole was much larger than the ones he rode. And the final photo shows Willow Groff, age 1, and Kim Myers of Fort Dodge take the saddle first on Monday when Fort Dodge Health and Rehabilitation residents got to see the giant up close and personal. Handler Jason Dent, who goes by his rodeo clown name Whistle Nut, tours with Ole all over the country.
Our next story, Fort Dodge Council sets partial property tax levy. Valuation rises in city. And this article is written by Bill Shea. A partial property tax levy for 2020 to 2021 was approved by the Fort Dodge City Council Monday evening as officials strive to keep the rate the same as it has been for the past four fiscal years. But despite those efforts by the council and city staff, homeowners could see the amount of tax they pay increase because the value of their property has gone up. The council unanimously approved a partial property tax of $16.10 per $1,000 of taxable value. It includes $8.10 for the general fund, which pays for police and fire protection, parks and recreation, the library, the Blandon Memorial Art Museum, and many other government functions. $6.16 for employee benefits, 62 cents to support the Webster County Emergency Management Agency, 47 cents for property and liability insurance, 35 cents to support Dodger Area Rapid Transit, 27 cents to help balance the general fund, 12 cents for Citizen Central. That total does not include the levies for debt service and the Carl King Band. The figure for the debt service levy has not been discussed by the council yet. Currently, it is $4.59 per $1,000 of taxable value. The levy for the band is now 6 cents per $1,000 of taxable value. The current total property tax rate for the city is $20.42 per $1,000 of taxable value. City officials want to keep it at that level. The tax rate won't be any different than it's been in prior years, City Manager David Fierke told the council. The $20.42 per $1,000 of taxable value is just the city's property tax rate. The Fort Dodge Community School District, Webster County, and Iowa Central Community College also levy property taxes. Even if all the taxing entities keep their rates the same, the citizens could still end up paying more in taxes due to increasing property values. The total combined value of property in Fort Dodge has risen about $34 million, according to Jeff Nemers, the city clerk and finance director. He said it went from about $707 million to about $741 million. In a related budgetary matter, Fierke and Nemers updated the council on work to balance a proposed general fund for the 2020-2021 years. They presented a balanced general fund that calls for spending $14,183,410. General fund revenues are projected at $14,189,494. A few changes were made to get to a balanced budget. For example, plans to buy a specifically marked vehicle for the Fort Dodge Convention and Visitors Bureau at a cost of $33,000 was scrapped. Fierke said the Bureau can borrow a Chrysler minivan owned by the Blandon Memorial Art Museum. Also, the fire department payroll was revised downward due to a pending retirement.
Fort Dodge Council puts brakes on water rate increase. New price postponed until late 2020. This article is by Bill Shea. A planned water rate increase has been put on hold by the Fort Dodge City Council in a move expected to save homeowners about $7 a month. The temporary rate increase moratorium was approved unanimously by the council on Monday. "We should be pretty good to go with the rates we have," City Engineer Tony Trotter told the council. However, the increase will be reinstated in November. The increase was one of three approved by the council in 2017 to pay for expanding the John W. Prey Water Facility on Finney Park Drive to add reverse osmosis equipment. That equipment will reduce the hardness of the city's water, but it will not produce true soft water. It is being installed to meet a State Department of Natural Resources requirement regarding the amount of chlorides in water discharged into the Des Moines River from the wastewater treatment plant. There is no effective way to remove chlorides in the wastewater treatment process. Therefore, chlorides need to be addressed at their source. In Fort Dodge, the source is salt used in water softeners. By reducing the hardness of the water, softeners won't work as hard and use as much salt. The addition to the water plant that will hold the reverse osmosis equipment is up and fully enclosed. Trotter has said the entire project will be done by the end of November. He said the first two water rate increases were to pay for the capital expenditure of building the addition and buying the equipment. The third increase, which has been put on hold, was to pay for the increased operational expenses. However, those expenses won't start until November. Mayor Matt Bemrick said if the rate increase went into effect now, residents would be paying for something, water with reduced hardness, that they are not getting yet. City Manager David Fierke said some residents have already received water bills with the rate increase in place. He said the next bills those residents receive will be slightly reduced.
School Board awards Central Office Remodel Project to Woodruff Construction. And this article is written by Kelby Wingert. The Fort Dodge Community School District Board of Education approved a $2.59 million bid proposal from Woodruff Construction for the district central office and maintenance facility remodel project on Monday night. The project, slated to begin this spring, is a remodel of the former Hy-Vee building, 109 North 25th Street, which will be used as the district central offices and main maintenance facility. The current central offices are housed in the former Erie School, which will later be remodeled back into a school building to house preschool and kindergarten. The school board meeting opened up to a public hearing on the central office and maintenance facility remodel project. Prior to the hearing, the board did not receive any written objections or comments on the project. During the hearing, there were no oral objections or comments from the public either. Following the public hearing, Ryan Utley, Director of Buildings and Grounds, presented to the board the three bids the district received for the project. The district received bids from Jensen Builders Limited of Fort Dodge, Sandy Construction Supply of Humboldt, and Woodruff Construction of Fort Dodge. All three bids were within $200,000 of each other, Utley said. The architect's estimated cost for the project is $3.9 million. Woodruff Construction was the low bid at $2,594,700. The architect, after that, went through their qualification processes to make sure that Woodruff understood the project timeline and make sure that their bid was within specs, Utley added. Superintendent Dr. Jesse Ulrich added that the subcontractors for the project will all be local to Fort Dodge. The board unanimously voted to award the bid to Woodruff Construction, with board members Lisa Shimkat and Bill Kent absent. In his superintendent updates, Ulrich noted the hiring of Nick Mosier as the Fort Dodge Community School District Foundation's new director. Mosier will begin on February 17th. Also on Monday night, the board appointed Barbara Bachman as a temporary board secretary to serve while board secretary Adriana Utley is out on maternity leave. The board also approved a first review and revision of the board's policies and procedures on anti-bullying, substance-free workplace, child abuse reporting, student-to-student harassment / bullying, and drug and alcohol testing program. The next school board meeting will be 6 p.m. on February 24th at the Central Administration Building at 104 South 17th Street. All school board meetings are open to the public.
Goldfield man sentenced after charges reduced, and this article is by Elijah Decius. A Goldfield man, initially accused of kidnapping a woman, pistol whipping her, and taking her over a state line, has been sentenced to 50 days in jail following charge amendments in a plea deal. Justice Terry, age 25, was sentenced to 50 days in jail, with all but 20 suspended after pleading guilty to assault causing bodily injury, a serious misdemeanor, on January the 28th. That charge was reduced from second-degree kidnapping, a Class B felony. Two other charges, assault while participating in a felony and assault while using or displaying a dangerous weapon, had been dropped since Goldfield was charged in October. The former charge was dropped pursuant to the plea agreement. Goldfield, I think what they mean is Terry, will receive credit for the time he spent in jail awaiting trial, about 28 days between his arrest and when he posted bond, more than enough to cover the amount of his sentence. He will remain on probation for 1 year and pay the minimum statutory fine of $315. In the plea agreement, Terry states that as a result of me grabbing the victim, she sustained a bodily injury in the form of redness and swelling on her arm. Criminal complaints from October allege that twice between September 26 and September 30th, Terry forced a Fort Dodge woman into his vehicle. They say he initially drove to a location on the east side of Fort Dodge where he choked her and pistol-whipped her with his handgun before driving her to Minneapolis, Minnesota. The narrative states the victim was able to escape in Minneapolis, where she called her mother to pick her up. Fort Dodge police said that the following day, Terry intimidated the victim into getting into a vehicle again, in which they wandered around north central Iowa before stopping in the Mason City area. There, the victim called her mother again. Complaints said it was the victim's mother who called law enforcement in Wright County at that time. Terry was arrested for active arrest warrants at a subsequent traffic stop on October the 5th in Clarion. Complaints allege that he attempted to flee law enforcement during the arrest, and this article is accompanied by a photo of Justice Terry.
Okay, highlights of President Trump's 2021 budget plan. And it has a picture of people unpacking this budget plan. And the budget plan looks like about a 4-inch thick manual. It said President Donald Trump's budget request for fiscal year 2021 arrives at the House Budget Committee on Capitol Hill in Washington Monday. President Donald Trump's fiscal 2021 budget plan doesn't have many fans among either his GOP allies or opposition Democrats, but it's a measure of the president's priorities as he seeks a second term. Newsflash, it's short on politically painful cuts to Medicare and Social Security, sometimes called the third rails of politics. Touch them and you die, while proposing cuts to domestic programs that Trump himself has never tried to put into place. Trump's fiscal missive contains plenty of nuggets for budget geeks, but little for Washington's deficit scolds, who see its prescription for balancing the budget within 15 years as politically unbalanced and unrealistic. A look at what's noteworthy in the president's budget. Recycled cuts. Trump is again taking aim at the $1.4 trillion discretionary portion of the $4.8 trillion federal budget, proposing $2.1 trillion in cuts over 10 years from domestic agencies, foreign aid, and overseas military operations. But such cuts run entirely counter to Trump's actual performance as president, in which he signed two budget and debt deals that reversed prior cuts to both defense and domestic programs, along with three rounds of appropriation bills. Trump's budget plans an immediate 5%, $37 billion, cut to non-defense programs favored by Democrats, and 2% cuts to such programs each subsequent year, preserving Pentagon gains. Trump's budget preserves big gains in the Pentagon budget over the past few years, essentially freezing next year's defense budget at current levels and allowing 2% growth each year through 2025 and freezing it after that. The $741 billion defense budget includes a 3% military pay raise, funds Trump's Space Force initiative, and maintains readiness accounts. But the budget plan also cuts back funding for overseas military operations that have been used to pad Pentagon budgets and seeks $5 billion in savings, including politically challenging cuts to about 50 Pentagon medical facilities across to fund other defense priorities. Medicare cuts. Yes, there are cuts to Medicare, and no, they won't throw Grandma off the program to raise her premiums despite what Democrats say. And yes, there are cuts to Medicaid, and yes, they will affect beneficiaries. First on Medicare, which serves seniors, Trump's budget cuts are aimed chiefly at health care providers like hospitals. They are howling at longstanding proposals to deny hospitals higher reimbursement rates for outpatient services than other medical facilities. The budget would also cut payments for post-acute care provided for people discharged from hospitals. Critics say the cuts, $465 billion over the coming decade, are so large that health care providers will be hurt and care will suffer, but the core Medicare program will remain intact. Medicaid, the state federal health care program for the poor and disabled, is a different story. Trump's latest Medicaid proposal would allow states that want more flexibility in Medicaid to accept their federal shares as a lump sum. For states staying in traditional Medicaid, a 3% cap on cost growth would apply. Secret Service. The budget would transfer the Secret Service back to Treasury from the Department of Homeland Security, a bureaucratic victory for Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. The proposal is aimed at improving the government's response to high-tech financial crimes and terror financing. The Secret Service was transferred to Homeland Security after the 9/11 attacks. Tobacco. The budget proposes spinning off the Food and Drug Administration's Tobacco Center into a separate agency. The FDA Center for Tobacco Products regulates traditional tobacco products and newer nicotine-based devices like electronic cigarettes. For more than a year, the FDA has struggled to reverse a surge in underage vaping driven by fruity candy-like flavors in e-cigarettes. Last week, the agency put in place new restrictions banning most flavors from small, reusable e-cigarettes like Juul, the leading brand among teenagers. But anti-tobacco advocates complain teens are already shifting to vapes not covered by the policy. In November, Senior White House official Joe Grogan complained that FDA's oversight of tobacco and vaping was, quote, a huge waste of time that distracted the agency from focusing on treatments for cancer and other deadly diseases. The budget states that spinning off the FDA's tobacco operations would allow the agency to focus on its traditional mission of regulating food and drugs.
School board holds budget workshop, and this is by Kelby Wingert. Under the proposed fiscal year 2021 Fort Dodge Community School District budget, the district's levy rate this next fiscal year could decline slightly. During a budget workshop at the Central Administration Building on Monday night, District Director of Financial Services Brandon Hansel presented the Board of Education with the proposed fiscal year 21 budget. The property tax levy rate is projected to decline by 20 cents to $16.55 per $1,000 of taxable value, Hansel said. So for a home with $100,000 assessed value and $55,074 rollback or taxable value, the portion of their property tax going to the school district will decrease from $955 for fiscal year 20 to $912 for fiscal year 21. In the budget proposal, Hansel wrote that the total fiscal year 21 general fund review is estimated to be $47,626,865, while the total fiscal year 21 general fund expenditure are estimated to be $47,565,877. In his budget recommendations, Hansel encouraged the board to hold the district staffing levels to where they're at currently. At the start of fiscal year 20, the district had a staff full-time equivalency of 546.16. We're not recommending any reductions, which is a huge positive, he said, but we're also not recommending any new FTEs if it can be avoided. Hansel also recommends a surplus debt service levy that will generate approximately $990,000 in property tax dollars that will be used to pay down the general obligation bonds early and achieve interest savings. What that is a property tax over and above what we would levy for our regular debt service payments for our outstanding general obligation bond, Hansel said. Hansel also noted to the board that only certain components of the budget are controlled by the Board of Education. The cash reserve, regular fiscal plan, and equipment fund, management fund, instructional support, and surplus debt service. The rest of the budget is either state-controlled or voter-controlled, with nearly 60% of the budget controlled by the state school foundation formula. The next step in the budget process will be for Superintendent Dr. Jesse Ulrich to give his recommendation to the board and for the board to set a proposed budget hearing. Following that, the board will publish the tax rates and expenditure estimates in the Messenger and hold a public hearing on the proposed budget. Finally, the board will adopt the certified budget and file it with Webster County and the Iowa Department of Management.
And today's editorial, Democratic caucus show potential pitfalls of technology. Programs, apps must be tested rigorously. These days, it seems as if there's an app for everything. But the fiasco last week with the Iowa Democratic Party's presidential nominating caucuses is a reminder that the appeal of new technology needs to be tempered by concern over reliability. Iowa's caucus process is the first contest among candidates seeking the highest office in the land. It also is an unusual method of gauging voter support. Instead of a conventional primary election, Iowans use a town hall meeting format, precinct by precinct. Democratic leaders in our state decided this year to make more use of technology in handling their party's caucuses. Calling it a disaster is putting it mildly. Even a week after Iowa Democrats trekked to their precincts for caucuses, final results were uncertain. A massive, pervasive breakdown of the new system made the process an embarrassment. Clearly, Iowa Democratic leaders should have tested the system better and trained precinct-level workers better. Though other states in the presidential nominating process rely on conventional primary elections. The Iowa fiasco is a valuable reminder that while technology can allow us to do things faster and more efficiently, over-reliance on it can be risky. Throughout the nation, thoughtful political party and government election officials ought to view the Iowa experience as a warning. Being certain that the new app works as advertised is imperative. And the editorial cartoon, it has Barack Obama holding an Oscar, and he's holding the Oscar because he won Best Actor in a non-supporting role. And as he's at the microphone, Barack Obama is saying, "I really like Joe Biden, just not enough to endorse him."
You are listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the blind and print disabled. The Messenger can be heard daily at 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other IRIS program, give us a call at 515-243-6833. Now we turn to today's obituaries. Ronald Butch Gerdes, Stanhope. Ronald Butch Gerdes, age 66 of Stanhope, died on Saturday, February the 8th, 2020, at his home of a long-time illness, with hospice there to help care for him. Private family gathering will be held at a later date. Bowman Funeral Home, and their website is www.bowmanfh.com, is caring for the family's needs. Ron Butch was born on August the 30th, 1953, to Richard and Gertrude Schmidt Gerdes in Fort Dodge, Iowa, into a family of eight. He married Doreen Peter on October the 19th, 1974, at the Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Lake City, Iowa. Ron Butch worked at various jobs during his life until he fell ill. He enjoyed his metal lathe job and helping his wife with cleaning jobs. During his free time, he liked his computer and playing games. He had some good, longtime friends he enjoyed keeping in touch with on the computer. He loved all kinds of music, mostly rock and roll. Most of all, he was a good husband and loved his family. His family includes wife of 45 years, Doreen, four children, Joel, wife Michelle, Lisa, Sean, and Jessica, husband Mike, 13 grandchildren, Ian, Michaela, Kiana, Tyler, Brianna, Shaylee, Austin, Landon, Mickey, Megan, Ivy, Lily, and Allison. He was preceded in death by two daughters, Amy and Laura, and grandson Isaiah. Betty Schmidt, Pocahontas. Betty L. Schmidt, age 92 of Pocahontas, Iowa, passed away on Saturday, February the 8th, 2020, at the Pocahontas Manor Care Center in Pocahontas, Iowa. Funeral services will be 10:30 a.m. Thursday, February the 13th, 2020, at Powers Funeral Home in Pocahontas, Iowa, with Pastor John Mayer officiating. Visitation is from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Thursday, February the 13th, 2020, at Powers Funeral Home. Burial will follow at St. John Lutheran Cemetery near Ireton, Iowa. Powers Funeral Home in Pocahontas, Iowa, is handling arrangements. For online condolences and obituary visit, www.powersfh.net. David Tessing, Humboldt. Funeral services will be 11 a.m. Wednesday at the Lentz Funeral Home in Humboldt. Burial will be in Indian Mound Cemetery, Humboldt, with military rites. And for more information, their website is www.lentzfuneralhome.com. And then from Loffesweiler and Seavers Funeral Home, located at 307 South 12th Street in Fort Dodge, phone 515-576-3156. Services for Bill P. Benedict, age 70. Visitation is Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Loffesweiler Funeral Home. Graveside services Thursday at 10:30 at the Rose Hill Cemetery in Eagle Grove.
Okay, in brief, adult coloring at the Fort Dodge Public Library today. Come relax and socialize with other creative and interesting people during adult coloring at the Fort Dodge Public Library, 424 Central Avenue. The next coloring session will be 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 5:30 to 7 p.m. today in the library's large meeting room. The library provides coloring sheets, coloring utensils, and cookies. If you are a long-time coloring fan, feel free to bring your own supplies and enjoy the company. For more information, contact the library at 573-8167, extension 6229, or visit the library's website at www.fort-dodgeiowa.org/library. Fort Dodge President's Day Refuse Collection announced. Due to the President's Day holiday, garbage and recycling collection routes for the City of Fort Dodge will be as follows. Garbage normally collected on Monday, February 17th, will be collected on Tuesday, February 18th. Garbage normally collected on Tuesday, February 18th, will be collected on Thursday, February 20th. Garbage normally collected on Thursday, February 20th, will be collected on Friday, February 21st. The recycling route for Wednesday, February 19th, for those west of 15th Street and including Orchard Glen, Rolling Hills, 170th Street, and the area from the CNRR tracks south to Patterson Field Road will be collected as normal. The Sanitation Division requests that residents place their garbage and recycling for collection by 6 a.m. on these dates. Please review the City of Fort Dodge website for additional information, which is www.fort-dodgeiowa.org. Former Governor Vilsack wins $150,000 from Powerball. A former Iowa governor and U.S. Agriculture Secretary claimed a $150,000 Powerball prize on Monday. Tom Vilsack picked up his winnings at the Iowa Lottery's headquarters in Clive. His ticket matched the January 22nd Powerball number and four of the remaining five numbers. He just missed out on the estimated $347 million jackpot. Occasionally when the Powerball gets above $250 million, I think, what the heck? You know, you can dream like everybody else, he told the lottery officials. He bought the ticket at a grocery store in Waukee, a Des Moines suburb where he and his wife live. He forgot about his ticket for several days. Then I woke up 10 days later on a Saturday morning and said, oh, geez, I wonder how I did. Before serving as Ag Secretary in the Obama administration, Vilsack was a two-term governor of Iowa, a state senator, and the mayor of Mount Pleasant. He is president and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. His church will share some of his winnings, he said, and the kids are going to get a little bit because you always try to help your kids out, and the rest is going to go to my banker.
Now we'll take a look at the community calendar, looking at what's going on in Fort Dodge and around the surrounding area. Daybreak Rotary Club met at 6:45 this morning. They were meeting at the Iowa Central Community College in the cafeteria, which is room 101. Railroad retirees start gathering at 8 a.m. at Brownie's Cafe, located at 1712 Central Avenue. Fort Dodge Community Food Services retirees will meet at 9 a.m. at Hy-Vee. Senior Coffee, 9 a.m., Emerald Oaks Dining Hall in Emmitsburg. Kossuth County Historical Museum is open 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Kossuth County Historical Museum, located in Algona. Blandon Memorial Art Museum, open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., located at 920 3rd Avenue South, and admission is free. The Fort Dodge Senior High Class of 1948 will meet at 11:30 this morning at the Village Inn. Webster County Genealogical Society, noon to 3 p.m. at the Fort Dodge Public Library, located at 424 Central Avenue, and they will gather in room 134. Noon Kiwanis, noon at the Pizza Ranch. A.A. Alano Club, noon and 7 p.m., Serenity Group, 12 North 7th Street. Humboldt Rotary Club, noon at Miller's Landing, located on Highway 169 South in Humboldt. El Anon, 5:30 p.m., 600 North Ridgely Street in Algona. Life Without Ed, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. They will gather in room 108. Fort Dodge Duplicate Bridge Club, 6 p.m., instructional session and play of hands at Citizens Central. Sac City Lions, 6:30 p.m., Hutch's Cafe, 612 East Main in Sac City. Bets Off / GA, 7 to 8 p.m., Community and Family Resources, located at 726 South 17th Street. Their phone number is 576-7261. Fort Dodge Area Quilters, 7 p.m., Webster County Extension Office at the Crossroads Mall. Webster County Republicans, 7 p.m., 900 Central Avenue. Power, Prayer, and Discipleship Healing Room, 7 to 9 p.m., at the Point Church, located at 1402 9th Avenue North, coffee and cookies provided. Harmony Brigade Barbershop Chorus, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church Music Room. The church is located at 1111 5th Avenue North, open to all men who love to sing, and their contact phone number is 570-3414. N.A. Candlelight Stick Meeting, 7 to 8 p.m. at the Lo Shalom Center at 501 North 12th Street. And then we have one announcement. Come join us for lunch. That's at Zakir's, located at 425 2nd Avenue South in Fort Dodge. Today, they're having lasagna. Tomorrow, pork cutlets. Thursday, chicken and noodles. And on Friday, fried cod.
From our files, February 2005, there's a picture of three men that are listening to something and they're thoughtfully looking, and it's Bill Griffel, Jack Christensen, and Orville O'Connell. Listen to Iowa State University graphic design students as they present their ideas for signs for the Ringland Smeltzer House in the Oak Hill District. Messenger poll, this week's question. Are you concerned that Iowa might lose its first-in-the-nation status in the presidential nominating process? If you would like to vote, go to www.messengernews.net. This date in history. Today is Tuesday, February 11th, the 42nd day of 2020. There are 324 days left in the year. Today's highlight, on February 11th, 1979, followers of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini seized power in Iran. On this date in 1531, the Church of England grudgingly accepted King Henry VIII as its supreme head. In 1861, President-elect Abraham Lincoln bade farewell to his adopted hometown of Springfield, Illinois, as he headed to Washington for his inauguration. In 1945, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and Soviet leader Joseph Stalin signed the Yalta Agreement, in which Stalin agreed to declare war against the Imperial Japan following Nazi Germany's capitulation. In 1968, New York City's 4th and current Madison Square Garden, located on Manhattan's west side, at the site of what used to be the Pennsylvania Station Building, opened with a, quote, salute to the USO, hosted by Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. The same evening, the New York Rangers played their final game at the 3rd Garden, tying the Detroit Red Wings 3-3. In 1975, Margaret Thatcher was elected leader of Britain's opposition Conservative Party. In 1990, South African black activist Nelson Mandela was freed after 27 years in captivity. In 2012, pop singer Whitney Houston, 48, was found dead in a hotel bathroom in Beverly Hills, California. In 2013, with a few words in Latin, Pope Benedict XVI did what no pope had done in more than half a millennium, announced his resignation. The bombshell came during a routine morning meeting at Vatican Cardinals. The 85-year-old pontiff was succeeded by Pope Francis. 10 years ago, British fashion designer Alexander McQueen, 40, was found dead in his London home. 5 years ago, Little League International stripped Jackie Robinson West of the national title after an investigation revealed it had falsified boundaries to field ineligible players. Mountain Ridge Little League was awarded the title. 1 year ago, Robert Bowers, charged with gunning down 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue, pleaded not guilty to hate crimes and dozens of other counts. Thought for today. We had better live as we think. Otherwise, we shall end up by thinking as we have lived. And this is by Paul Bourget, French author who lived from 1852 to 1935.
Drugs fail to slow decline in inherited Alzheimer's disease. This article is by Marilyn Marchione, an AP chief medical writer. Two experimental drugs failed to prevent or slow mental decline in a study of people who are virtually destined to develop Alzheimer's disease at a relatively young age because they inherited rare gene flaws. The results announced Monday are another disappointment for the approach that scientists have focused on for years, trying to remove a harmful protein that builds up in the brains of people with Alzheimer's, the leading cause of dementia. We actually don't even know yet what the drugs did in terms of removing that protein, because those results are still being analyzed, said study leader Dr. Randall Bateman at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. But after 5 years on average, the main goal of the study was not met. People on either of the drugs scored about the same on thinking and memory tests as others giving placebo treatments. More than 5 million people in the United States and millions more worldwide have Alzheimer's. Current drugs only temporarily ease symptoms and do not alter the course of the disease. The study tested solanezumab by Eli Lilly and Company and gantenerumab by Swiss drug maker Roche and its U.S. subsidiary Genentech. Both drugs gave disappointing results in some earlier studies, but the doses in this one ranged up to 4 to 5 times higher, and researchers had hoped that that would prove more effective. The study was funded by the U.S. National Institute on Aging, the Alzheimer's Association, and some foundations. It involved about 200 people in the United States, Europe, and elsewhere with flaws in one of three genes. If you get one of these genetic mutations, you're almost guaranteed to get Alzheimer's, typically in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, said Dr. Eric McDade, another study leader at Washington University. People like this account for only about 1% of Alzheimer's cases, but their brain changes and symptoms are similar to those who develop the disease at a later age. That gives a unique chance to test potential treatments. We know everyone will get sick, and we know about what time that is in their lives, Bateman said. Most study participants already had signs of the harmful protein in their brain, even if they were showing no symptoms when the study started.
And now for sports. Garrigan boys clinch league title by Dana Becker. And it has a picture of Angelo Winkle as he dunks for Bishop Garrigan earlier this season against St. Edmund. For just a second time in school history, the Bishop Garrigan boys are conference champions. The fourth-ranked Class 1A Golden Bears put the finishing touches on claiming the top of the Iowa West Division title here Monday night with a 102-64 victory over North Iowa. Angelo Winkle scored a game-high 29 points, with John Joyce adding 25 and Cade Winkle 23. Marcus Plath added 13 and Cameron Beatty 9. This year we really get after it defensively, and when we do, we get out and score, head coach Mark Meister said. These students have put in tons of work to be in this position. We are really looking forward to a tournament run, but we still have a lot of work to make sure we can get to our full potential. Bishop Garrigan, who is 18-2 overall and 14-1 in league, finished a game ahead of number 8 1A Lake Mills as the two split the season series. The only other loss this season came in December to Algona by 2. Since a 67-49 setback at Lake Mills, the Golden Bears have reeled off 7 consecutive wins. They have scored at least 80 points in 4 of those, and only 4 teams have scored at least 60 points against them. Cade Winkle, who is signed to play at Briarcliff University next year, is one of five seniors on the roster. For him, this has been a goal that has been working on for a long time. For me and my classmates, this means a lot, he said. Coming up in middle school, our class was always one of the best in the area, and no one really beat us. So for that to be true 4 years later is very gratifying. Our senior class wants to be remembered as the greatest basketball class in Garrigan history, and this was one of the steps in becoming that. Brothers Cade and Angelo Winkle, a junior, both went over the 1,000 career point mark in the same game earlier this season. Andrew Arndorfer, Joyce, Beatty, and Plathier are also seniors. The Golden Bears reached the state tournament a year ago after finishing second in the conference. Third-ranked 1A West Fork shared the top of the Iowa East Division crown with Osage. Bishop Garrigan closes out its regular season Friday at home against Hampton Dumont.
Fort Dodge Bowlers split in season finale. And this is accompanied by two photos, one showing Leah Sank and the other showing Caleb Anderson. The defending state champion Fort Dodge Girls bowling squad defeated Ankeny on Tuesday to finish the regular season with a 9-2 dual record. The Dodgers prevailed 2,433 to 2,415. On the boys' side, Ankeny posted a 3,069 to 2,909 victory over Fort Dodge Senior High. Leah Sank, the 2019 girls state gold medalist, rolled a 214 and 171 for a total of 385 to lead the Dodger girls. Alexis Kenny was next in line at 166 and 165 with a total of 331. The girls weren't at their best, but they were down 75 pins going into the Baker round, Fort Dodge Senior High head coach Nick Vinson said. So it was great to see them handle adversity and come from behind. You have to find different ways to win sometimes. It was great to see the fight and resilience. Caleb Anderson, whose scores were 225, 254 for a total of 479, and Jaden Ray, 209 and 221 for a total of 430, paced the Dodger boys. I think the main focus on the boys' side is just getting back to having fun again, Vinson said. In singles, we're very good, but we have to get better in the Baker round. We're still right there, but we need to find a way to get over the hump with the postseason right around the corner. We're seeing a lot of positives from both teams. It's just a matter of pushing the right buttons from here on out. The Fort Dodge Junior Varsity Boys posted a 2,467 to 2,173 win. Kyle Davis at 405 and Jacob Schroeder at 350 led the Dodgers. The Fort Dodge Senior High Junior Varsity Girls fell 1,543 to 1,298. Toby Draper at 240 had the high series for the Dodgers. Fort Dodge hosts the CIML Iowa Conference meet at Ridgewood's Lanes on Thursday beginning at 10 a.m.
Area programs I-State duels. A handful of area teams will try to secure a spot in the state duels field Tuesday night at regionals. In Class 2A, Humboldt and Emmitsburg each finished in the top two at sectionals to advance, while 1A qualifiers include Clarion Goldfield / Dowes and Manson Northwest Webster. The Wildcats, ranked ninth, will head to Atlantic to meet Van Meter. The winners battle number 10 Atlantic or Red Oak for the spot to compete at state duels. Emmitsburg, meanwhile, travels to Osage to take on Crestwood. The Eagle Hawks, ranked 13th, face either 4th-rated Osage or 4th City. The 9th-ranked Cowboys will be one of 8 host schools in 1A, welcoming in ACGC First with number 11 Nashua Plainfield and Martinsdale St. Mary's, meeting in the other semifinal. Manson Northwest Webster hits the road to meet Westward and Haywarden. The 15th-rated Cougars would face either number 3 West Sioux or Hull Western Christian if they win. The state duels tournament will take place Wednesday, February 19th inside Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. And it has the regional duels Class 2A Atlantic, Atlantic versus Red Oak, Humboldt versus Van Meter. At Independence, it's Independence versus Mount Vernon, Charles City versus Gilbert. in Osage, it's Osage versus Forest City, Crestwood versus Emmitsburg. At Sergeant Bluff, Luton versus MOC Floyd Valley, Central Lyon versus West Lyon. At Union, it's Union LaPorte City versus South Tama, Davenport Assumption versus Iowa Falls Alden. At Manchester, it's West Delaware versus Anamosa and Solon versus Comanche. At Williamsburg versus Mount Pleasant, Bondurant Farrar versus North Polk. At Winterset, it's Winterset versus Knoxville, Harlan versus Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. In Class 1A, at Avoca, it's Avoca AHSTW versus Woodbury Central, Underwood versus Mount Air. In Clarion, it'll be Clarion Goldfield / Dows versus ACGC, Nashua Plainfield versus Martinsdale St. Mary. At Denver, it's Denver versus Dyersville Beckman, New London versus Colfax Mingo. At Gilbertville, it's Don Bosco versus Highland, Wilton versus El Burnett. At Lake Mills versus Wapsie Valley, West Hancock versus South Winneshiek. At Lisbon, it's Lisbon versus Wapello, Iowa Valley versus Belle Plaine. At Logan, it's Logan Magnolia versus Interstate 35, Missouri Valley versus Bedford Lennox. And the last one, at Haywarden, it's West Sioux versus Hull, Western Christian, Manson Northwest Webster versus Westwood.
Now we'll look at today's weather. It'll be sunny, high around 29, low around 21. Winds will be west-northwest at 7 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high around 35, low around minus 9. Thursday, mostly sunny, high around 2. So get your hats and your mittens out. The low will be around minus 10. Friday, we're going to start warming up. Mostly sunny, high around 26, low around 19. Saturday, a chance of snow, high around 37, low around 18. Sundays, partly sunny, high around 34, low around 27. Monday, partly sunny, high around 36, low around 24. Yesterday's high was 31, yesterday's low 15. Last year's high was 26, last year's low 22. So it's going to be nice today and tomorrow, but then we're going to have a couple days of some cold, but then it'll start warming up again. That brings us to the end of today's reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger. We thank the folks at Friendship Haven for giving Iris a home in Fort Dodge for so many years. And we thank you for listening with Iris, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind, wishing you all a dream to bless and a star to guide.